uses idioms, figures of speech, metaphors, symbology, so that he can give you a deeper spiritual thought, things that usually are material that you can relate to, usually in many cases explaining something that is unseen to the human eye, all right? Such as your spiritual body. You cannot see your spiritual body, but your flesh body does cast a shadow. Why? It's material. Therefore, shadows are used a great deal in our Father's Word to express His emotion. That's to say, your Father's inner thought, His emotion. And it's very important that you pay attention to what your Father's feelings are. If you don't know what someone's feelings are, you can't very well please them, can you? You might please them, but you might also make them unhappy. Now, I'm not to say that you have to please every living soul, but do please your Father, all right? Because if you don't please Him, you're doing something wrong. Now, as an example, we use shadows even in colloquial and present-day English. We say, this person has a shadow on their past. What does that mean? Whoa, something deep there, something wrong. There's something wrong in that person. And I would suppose that there's not a one of us in the room that do not have shadows. Or let me rephrase that, have not had shadows on our past. Things that we have done that have a shadow. What does it mean? It means hidden. Hidden from the obvious view, all right? And I suppose there's not a one of us that at some time or the other that we have a shadow. And before anyone starts getting on a guilt trip or anything, we have something that removes shadows, someone, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Like that. Your shadow of the past is gone. He doesn't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear about your shadow, and I'm sure you don't either. Okay, so that's gone. It's done away with. But I use that to illustrate how that we do use terminology, words, to say more or mean more than is actually said. That cast a shadow is a material thing. I would suppose that this one word helps us a great deal in separating our own minds from this flesh into your spiritual inner being, your beautiful self, the self that is eternal if you follow the shadow of Almighty God, if you are under His shadow. Basically, we have two shadows that are cast upon this earth. There are many, but the two major, and that is the shadow of the wing of the living God, and it is the shadow of death. The shadow of death, as you will find documented in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, is the devil. He is that angel of death. He is that shadow of death. And if you allow yourself to fall under his wing, then in trouble indeed you are ye. May I use old English to get out of the hole here? You're in bad shape, let's put it that way, because you're under the wrong shadow. Now, is it not ironic that in studying God's Word you find out, oh, the beautiful morning star. Yep, it's symbolic of Jesus Christ. Well, who else is it symbolic of? Satan. Saka, the bright and the morning star. Lucifer, Isaiah 14. And how about Messiah? Isn't it wonderful to have Messiah? Which one? You see. In other words, your Father intends that you stay awake, for there is the true Messiah and there is the false Messiah. There is a good shadow and there is a bad shadow. But always remember this. Man is described as a shadow. It is said sometimes, oft times, he casts a long shadow. But know this. A shadow never lasts a full day. It's a very temporal thing. It passes quickly. We could even put it into spiritual language, whereas with our Father, as it is written in 2 Peter chapter 3, that with Him one day is as 1,000 years. No one has lived 1,000 years. Therefore, still, even in the spiritual sense, a shadow does not last a full day. Neither does your flesh body, beloved, but there is one part of you that is eternal, that is forever. Now, which are you going to pay attention to? Are you going to pay attention to the flesh, which casts a shadow, not a full day, and wrap it up, bundle it up, and that's it? Or will you choose, rather, to control the flesh with that beautiful inner self, which is to say, your soul, yourself, and put it in charge, put it in command, and let it control your life. That you take into your mind, that you absorb, that makes you different than other people. Anybody can basically walk around in the flesh, and they can dress the flesh, you know, where it looks pretty good and so forth, and they look like a human being. But what does a servant of God appear? Not in clothing, but in the eye that mirrors the soul, their countenance, their actions. You can tell a servant of the living God. You know, almost like that, if they are genuine, or if they're just beginning to build a foundation to serve the living God. Maturity is in understanding your Father's Word. For all wisdom, all gifts come from above. Let me rephrase that. All good gifts come from above. There are many gifts that migrate and wander the earth and its passages that are not good. You may be good at some of them. And there are some gifts of this earth material, that things that do cast a shadow, that are quite good. You should be the very best at your profession. And in being good at your profession, then naturally you can support that is spiritual and have your way in serving the living God. I want to go through the scriptures, just a few verses here and there, and let's consider the shadows, what God would have us discern from it. I'm going to pick a real unusual one to start with. It's the only place it's used in, I believe, I'll say the old. I know it's only used one time in the Greek. There is one that is similar in the Hebrew, but I'm going to say the Greek, it's the only place. Open your Bibles to James, the first chapter. We're going to talk about a special shadow, and really is stated the only place, this verse, or this terminology in the in regards to the combination of words with this meaning. James chapter 1, I'm going to start reading with verse 16 as you're turning there. In the New Testament, the book of James, do not err, my beloved brethren. James had a gentle way of speaking. Every good gift, James states in the 17th verse, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It comes from God, in other words, and cometh down from the Father of lights. What is this Father of lights? He that is the Father of light, within that it dispels shadows, and yet at the same time, if a body gets in the way of that light, it naturally casts a shadow if it is in the flesh. But this is not talking about a shadow. Let's continue and then I'll wrap it up. Our Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now, shadow as it is used here, or darkness, is caused on earth by the movements of the constellations. That's the shadow that is spoken of here. It can be used in no other way. This particular combination in this sentence structure in the Greek. It is a shadow cast on the earth by the movement of the constellations. Now, what does that say to you? All gifts come from Father above. And even He controls, created, designed even the heavenly bodies. And He's assuring you that there shall be no shadow, even from the heavenlies, fall upon you if you are operating within those gifts from above. It shows destiny. You might say, well, some might say, well, you're reading a lot into that. No, I'm not. That's why that in using metaphors or figures of speech, it means a great deal more. He's assuring you. Let me ask this question. What war do we war in these end times? It's not a war of the arm, that is to say of power, but of dark sayings. Darkness is that shadow, which is to say of principalities and powers in high places, meaning Luciferian, meaning Satan, meaning his evil spirits that come from on high. They can have no influence on your life, on you as an individual, when you have that gift from above and are not practicing gifts from below. It's that simple. I think that is unique. Not only seems unique, it is unique, in as much as that is the only place in the New Testament that it is used. It is really a super divine promise to you if you will receive it. That, in other words, that God, even through the planets themselves, and with them taken into thought, makes a promise to you that you're going to be protected. That's quite a promise, meaning divine destiny for those that God leads, those that receive His gift from on high. Now that's one of the shadows of God's Word. It's a powerful, potent promise to those that love Him. Now let's go back, if we may now, into the Psalms, and let's think a little bit on another shadow. Let's go to Psalm 17. As this word is used in the Word from your Father. Psalm 17, I'm going to begin reading about verse 6 of the 17th Psalm. I have called upon Thee, for Thou wilt hear me, O God. Do you realize that? This is a prayer of David. Things were going pretty rough. He says, for Thou wilt hear me. God always hears you. O God, incline Thine ear unto me, and hear my speech. When you talk to your Father, and you give Him credit for having common sense, He's going to listen to you. Now, if you're one of these squirrels that must go into a ritual in prayer, I don't know that if He listens, I really don't know if He would listen or not. How would you feel if one of your children, before they could talk to you, had to go into and put on a certain garb, all right, and had to dress themselves in a certain fashion, and then they would come out and say, may I speak to you now, Mama, all right, or Daddy? You know, no, if one of your children needs you, you don't care how they're dressed or what they're wearing or what their frame of thought is. If they need you, you want them to speak to you. So does your Father. He loves you very much. He will hear you. Well, does that mean He's going to snap to and get it done? What's best for you? You may not like it, but He still hears you and does really in your overall life what is best for you. 7. Show Thy marvelous loving kindness, O Thou that savest by Thy right hand them which put their trust in Thee from those that rise up against Thee. Who is at the right hand of God? Christ is, of course. Jesus Christ at the right hand of God, the Savior Himself. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of Thy wings. God, using this thought, has an outstretched wing. Will you come under that shadow? For you see, let me ask you a question. Shadows in your life and on your life can be evil and can be bad. But if you are already in a shadow, do you cast a shadow? Do you follow me? In other words, the eagle has his wing outstretched. And if you are standing in a shadow, do you cast a shadow? Now, don't get high-tech on me about candle power and all that malarkey. You know the answer that I'm speaking. No, when you're in the dark, which the shadow is, you don't cast a shadow. You are already under the shadow and protection of Almighty God. And beloved, you know something? That's also what happens to the shadows that are over your life. And there are some that, oh, but brother, you don't know what a sinner I am. I don't care. Oh, but I just want to cry and weep a little bit and tell you about how bad it was. I don't want to hear it. You know, life is too short to hear, you know, something you've already been forgiven for, because it's kind of a mockery against God, your Father, and the Son, and the price that was paid. When you walk into that shadow, you cease having shadows on your life. They are blotted out, done away with, and you're as pure as new-driven snow, as white, as clean, because of His marvelous forgiveness. Now, does He hear your prayer? Does He do what I want? I don't know. What did you want? Did you want something that cast a shadow like an automobile or something like that? Or did you want your sins forgiven? The most beautiful gift that could ever be given, that we that walk in this flesh, that cannot help ourselves, though how good our intentions, to never fall short, yet always seeming that we do. In other words, we couldn't make it without Him. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when you walk under that wing and your shadows disappear, then you see the marvelous working of the living God, that you're a new creature, that you're a new being. You're my brother, you're my sister, and we are one family in Him with no shadows. So I might add a little footnote. Sometimes it can be a most favorite pastime to talk about shadows. Did you hear about it, Arnold? No, I didn't hear about it. What was it? No. Well, didn't you hear? Oh. It's like when they told about, you know, well, Susanna. Did you hear about poor Susanna? And I have to admire Daniel. He said, what? Tell me about it. It's a lie. You know, there's nothing will shake a storyteller up quicker than anything is to say, document it. Oh, well, I know so-and-so said it. Document it! Well, so-and-so said. You see what you're guilty of when you start talking about shadows? God likes for His Word to be slammed down right good and firm on that sort of note. If you understand what I mean, be careful how you hunt out the shadows. Oh, but I just enjoy that sort of thing. Well, then you're sick. You're really sick. Now, if you want to talk about the goodness of our brother and what fellowship, fine fellowship we have with them, that's wonderful. And to enjoy them, and if you're within your inner family, you know, you're going to talk about the pastor or maybe the chief engineer or somebody else. There's no telling, you know, what. But then that's all right. You know, that's your inner family, and you're both one flesh, and flesh is supposed to meditate, and that's fine. So, again, there must be a balance, an equal balance in your mind in all things, to be able to separate that is not reality from that is actual, factual. And I would suppose that our Father, in this term, shadows, gives us a very good tool to differ between that casts no shadow and that does. And I'll tell you this. That does cast a shadow can get you in trouble quicker than that that casts no shadow. Do you understand what I'm saying? Your little flesh body casts a shadow wherever it walks. And then you'll finally, rather than just simply walking under the wing, you will find this one person that will say, should I stand and face my problems, or should I run away from my shadow? Have you ever tried to run away from your shadow on a bright, lighted day, the light with the brightness of Almighty God? The faster you run, that old shadow just takes, beats you step by step. It's always with you, you see, in that sense. So God's people face reality by knowing the difference between the spiritual and the physical, and they hit a balance, all right? So, we see here then, let's continue on. Get under the wing of Almighty God, His shadow. From the wicked, he continues to pray, David, that oppresseth me from my deadly enemies who compass me about. They are enclosed in their own fat. With their mouth, they speak proudly. They'll say all kinds of things about you, but if you're under his wing, it doesn't matter what your enemies say. You're in the Lord, and I don't know if you've ever heard it or not, your enemies are not going to judge you. God is, all right? That's why we have the victory. God knows. They have now compassed us in our steps. That means wherever you walk, whichever way. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth. In other words, they try to push us the right into the ground, would be a better translation. Like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, they're anxious to make a kill. And as it were, a young lion lurking in secret places. Young lions are very eager for a kill. Have you ever had an enemy that you felt that way about? That, man, if you made one slip, they had you by the nape of the neck, so to speak. Arise, O Lord, disappoint him, my enemy, that is. Cast him down. Deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword. Or by his sword, you are delivered from the lawless one. Who is the lawless one? Satan. He has a shadow also. You must stay away from that shadow by remembering, this is a good little rule of the thumb, as long as you are under the wing, the shadow of Almighty God, you don't cast a shadow. You're going to do all right. This is the way, the word. He cannot harm you here. As long as you stay in those gifts from above, you're going to do all right. There will be some that will try, but it will be to no avail. For you are standing in that shadow that shall always protect you. Let's go on, if we made it, the 36th chapter, 36th Psalm. Let's take one more case here. Psalms 36. Let's look at one more shadow here before we go to a little different kind. Psalms 36. Now, I'll just start reading with verse 1 there in the 36th Psalm. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. You don't have to worry about God. The wicked say, man, I'm going to do whatever I want to do your brother before he does you. Get out there and get after it. Run over whomever you have to, but if you want to succeed, you got to get to the top, and it doesn't matter how you get there. Bad advice, friend. Many shadows involved with that type of thinking. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity, his sin, be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. That's really what comes out. They'll say anything. Not only will they flatter themselves, they will flatter you. Do you know what they will even come up and say to you? They'll say, you really all right? You know, you are probably the best friend I have in the world. And then they will say, sometimes they'll say, but, all right, or something of that nature, and here it will go. But usually they're going to butter you up to the point you think that's undoubtedly the best judge of character in the world. You know, that person. is the best judge of character I've ever run across. They know me well because I am that good, you know. Be careful, the shadows form. Right? He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He ceased to get too wrapped up in the world to look for the gifts from above. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. In other words, that's all he studies about it all night long. Makes plans. Daytime isn't good enough. Even makes those plans at night. I'll show him. I'll get him. If I do this and present this, then I can undercut him here, you know. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. If anything, they get to find it quite comfortable to be around. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Remember the cloud in the wilderness? Remember the cloud that shadowed Moses to keep him from the hot sun of the desert? That was our Father. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. The mountains of Az, the mountains of God. Thy judgments are a great deep. They can be if you don't stop and think and meditate to the depth that your Father wishes you to. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. You have both degrees. God has a natural order of things that does preserve man and beast. He created the year grass that grows back each year to reinstate itself. That a wild animal that you will never see, or no man will ever set eyes on, is perfectly healthy. He preserves man as well. He gives him away. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. There is no better place, my dear friend, that if you have a problem or a situation that you have done all you can do, that you've got to make a decision and you need to discern the path you're going to take, whether it be in business or whatever in your personal life, don't ever take another step without asking Him. Well, some of you might say, well, what good would that do? I know none of you would. My friend, if you would ask that question, then you would be wasting your time praying. He is real. He hears. He can change the course of events the same as He could place that shadow of the constellations wherever He will in His perfect order and time of alignment. Do you think He could not align your life if He could promise you divine protection as well? Of course He can. It's very important that you talk to Him when you come to that crossroad that you're not sure of. He will protect you, guide you, lead you, whereby you can do no wrong. Literally, it would seem that everything you know, and understand what I'm saying, in the ministry, it would seem that we can do no wrong financially. You know, we don't have to do like other ministries do. We don't have to beg, all right, for money. And it would seem that every time this ministry needs to open up a new set of stations or something, all we have to do is seek God's discernment and say, is this the way, and make the move, and it's done, you see. It is done. Don't ever tell me it doesn't make a difference because you're sitting in a building that is actual proof. A little old church in Northwest Arkansas that we were poor as we were never poor, but poor is when you don't have enough to eat. All right, we had plenty to eat, but we didn't have enough to buy some of the most expensive equipment. That we have more expensive equipment than any group in any television station in Arkansas. We have better. You know why? It's a gift from above, and it is used to put forth the gift from above, unselfishly. God will always hear. He will make a difference. He will guide you. He will lead you. What I'm saying, you're sitting in a miracle if you didn't but know it. And my dear brother and sister and their lovely daughter, away from Baja, California, documents that. That the Word goes forth when God is ready for it to. So he does hear you. Let him be your shadow. And when you're in trouble, call on him. Now, I said after you've done all you can do, many people will say, hey, now this sounds like a good thing. I'm just gonna sit down here and hold my hand on the word, and we're gonna let God do the teaching. Does that sound like a good idea? We'll just let God do the teaching. You see, there's a problem there. He chose this man as a teacher. So I gotta be up here working before the teaching can get done, the same as it is in your life. When you say, God made me these blessings here, he promised it. But there are always conditions. You've got to do your best first. In other words, the same as I've got to stand up here and work, you've got to work at whatever it is you do. Or it doesn't get done, friend. That's why God says, I choose servants. What do you have servants for? To do your work. All right? That's what you have them for. Okay, I got so wrapped up there in that. Wasn't that good? You all look like he's really going to quit. You know? but a good illustration, you know. We have to do our part. That's why God loves you so much, is that you do your part. That's why he pours his blessings out on you. That's why he extends your shadow, that is to say, his shadow of the wing, wherever you go. He's there for you. You're never alone. And how he does love you. Now, I'm going to go on to one other kind of shadow, all right? Let's go to Psalms 144, and let's talk about men's shadow just a little bit. These old Psalms are sure good when we get into that is divine. 144. I'm going to just start reading there. Blessed be the Lord. This is another song by David. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Fight what? Well, in David's case, sometimes it was war. But we got a little different war going on in this day. It's a spiritual war. And he's the one that teaches you how to fight. My goodness and my fortress. My high tower, my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people, or my enemies, my nations, that is, under me, or under my feet, that gives him the victory. Lord, what is man? Good question. We're talking about human here, flesh man. That thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man, that's to say Messiah, that thou makest account of him. As big as you are, God, and as wonderful as you are, why do you think about some little old man here? Man is like to vanity. You know what that wind? Nothing. Emptiness. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. What does that say? A shadow doesn't last a full day. It's gone. That's the way man is. Here and gone. Planted. Out in the tulip field or wherever. Dead, buried, and the flesh forgotten. What about the soul? Where is it? Naturally, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. So, man's shadow is not that important because it's a very short time in your life. Then we might say, does your soul die? No, it does not. Your flesh will. But if you are in the Father, if you are under the wing of Almighty God, you will never die. Your soul shall never die. It's not in the books for you. That's where we come to that part that is so important. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of great waters, troubles, in other words, from the hand of strange children. Meaning, of course, the sons of kings. Satan's own children or anybody that will follow him. God will deliver you. He will protect you. Many people consider deliverance as being riddance. Not so. We were sent to this earth to teach His Word, to help our brothers and sisters wherever and whoever they are. And if God were to remove you from all the strange ones, we will say, that's Satan's children, all right, those that follow him, what good would you be? There's only one way he can remove you, and that's to say, that old boy, it's time for him to die, and we're going to bring him up here, and now he's in a very peaceful place, all right? You got work to do here. That's the point. And you can be rid of something and be still right in the middle of it doing God's work, because it is not tempting to you. All right? You understand? You do not find it tempting or enticing. So it doesn't bother you. It doesn't rub off on you. And you're able to function and operate in the flesh, though it does not cast a long shadow, doing the work of Almighty God. And it's important that you know that. A hearer of God's word is wonderful, but show me a hearer and a doer, and I'll show you somebody I'll ride with. Hey, we'll saddle up. I'll ride with you all day. We won't quit, and we'll always win. I want you to notice how many times in these scriptures that we observed, you're my shield, you're my buckler. Did you recognize the gospel armor? You see, that's why you put it on. Shadows, signs, times. The shadow of man, a very short thing. And yet, shadows and tracings. Why do we go out into the mountains? Shadows always leave tracks. And that's why we follow those tracks, searching out truth, searching out the divine word of God. I shall scatter them. And we read the signs, the little signs of the people. And it documents and strengthens this word, whereby you know it is true. You know God is in control, because each is placed basically where he would have it, that he uses, that is to say, his elect. So, there we have in that beautiful psalm, the shadow of man that is so temporal. But I hope that you could gather from David's prayer his need for God. God had to do everything for him. He depended on God for those gifts. But David never stood still. He kept working. That perhaps sounds a little confusing, but so it is. I would recommend that you read all of that particular psalm. I want to go to Ecclesiastes that we've been studying in on television. I want to go to chapter 8. It's just right at the end of Psalms. Give me a couple of books over and you got it. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. That we've been teaching. There's one verse that in the last lecture that really struck me, and the Holy Spirit released that knowledge right after Proverbs, after Psalms. Chapter 8, verse 8, and it reads, "There." And as you know, Ecclesiastes is written to the man that walks under the sun, which means this chunk of meat, this flesh. That's who it's written to. And when man is used here, that's exactly what it means, not your spiritual soul, but your flesh body. "There is no man that has power over the spirit to retain the spirit." You have a body, a flesh body. You have a spirit and you have a soul. Your spirit is the intellect of your soul. In other words, when it comes time that God pulls the plug on you, we'll say, maybe that's a little crude, I don't know, but you get the message. You can't, your flesh body, the man that walks on this earth, can't hang on to that spirit. You know, the spirit is going to go back to the Father that gave it. That's documented in the 12th chapter and the 7th verse of this great book of Ecclesiastes. "Neither hath he power in the day of death." That's to say, another shadow we're talking about, it's called the shadow of death. "And there is no discharge," there's no furloughs. You can't get a 3-day pass in this war. You're all going to have to participate in it when that time comes, in that war. "Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it." I don't care how much power or how much wickedness some drug lord might have. When that day comes, friend, it's no different from him than anyone else. In other words, you can't amass enough power, earthly power, that when your war with between the flesh and your soul comes to pass, it's gone. And you know, the Spirit moved on me at that moment, and I made a special point, or I tried to. Your flesh is what casts the shadow of trouble, all right? Your flesh, you count all the times you've been in trouble. What got you there? This chunk of meat, all right? Most always, some of us may have an evil spirit in our mean intellect that we get hung up on something, but most usually it is something for the flesh. What do you want riches for? Deck out the flesh, take it to wherever, take it down to Baja California where everybody has beautiful swimming weather all year around, like heaven on earth. And I'm teasing my guests just a little bit. You and they, I know they understand. But you see, everything we do is for our body, really, right? You understand where I'm coming from? Or if we sin in some way, it's usually the body that causes it. Now, think a moment. When that day of war comes, that death approaches, the body goes in the ground and it goes back to dust. And it's what got you in all your trouble to start with. It caused you to sin. Gimme, gimme, gimme. I want this. I want that. I need this. Feed me, feed me, feed me. You know, do this, do that. But here you stand on judgment. And here's your soul. And that filthy, lousy, nut flesh is laying back there in a hole in the ground that got you in all the trouble, and you got to answer for it. You understand where I'm coming from? You're the one that's going to have to answer. The flesh is nothing. It's just a bunch of dirt, and you let it rule you. It casts a lot of shadows. There it is. And you stand before God alone, your soul, answering for it. What are you going to say? I must not be too bright, Lord. I let that chunk of dirt just rule me all my life, and here I stand. You see, the upper, your spirit, your intellect, is supposed to tell this chunk of meat where to get off at, all right? You don't want to have to answer for all the stuff it wants to get you into on that day when it's not even going to be around anymore. And then the thought, it grieved God that he had made man flesh in Genesis chapter 6. He didn't want to have to do it that way, but he did. We had that problem. But we see within that the fact that flesh, could I say that flesh is your enemy? God forbid, for it was created by Almighty God and it functions quite well for you as long as you take care of it. But don't let it be your boss. You rule it. You rule it. Don't let it rule you. Because it's not going to be there to take the heat. You understand? Man, I mean, it's already went Betty by Sleepy Land, and it's all through. And you're going to answer for it. So, I just wanted to drop that because I think it fits in with this. Of the shadow of things. Shadows. Shadows always indicate something hidden. All right? And I suppose that there is a part of us that God intends that we have that privacy, and that's good. But make sure you maintain who boss is. Okay? All right. How much time have I got? Okay. I want to go back to one more psalm, all right? Or maybe one or two verses out of two different psalms. Psalms 107. Let's go back to a little different shadow here. Psalms 107, verse 1, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. How long does his mercy last? Forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Are you redeemed? Are you under that shadow? Then you can say so. for whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east, and from the west, and from the north, and from the south. That would be the subject. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. But what happened to them in that desert? Think about it. A pillar of fire by night and a cloud for shade or shadow by the day. God takes care of his own. And in a way, you walk through that same wilderness in this generation. It's a jungle out there, my friends. I'm talking about in the larger cities and in the world itself. It's a wilderness. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. They grew weak. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses, and he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. He's leading you to a city, dear one, a beautiful city. It's called New Jerusalem. What a wonderful time there, and how short the time is here. How fragile. Can you make it? Of course you can. Who rules you, your flesh or your soul? Your soul, of course, your spirit. Does that mean we're perfect? No, we fall short. But the moment we repent, we're clean again. That not to be used, of course, as an excuse for sin. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for he is good to us, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. What he has made for us, it's not a religion, my friend. It is a reality, and you can take hold of it. You can taste it. You can enjoy it. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Did he say your body? No, your soul, beloved. A soul is hard to satisfy, because in having that satisfied, you have peace of mind, continuity in your life, love, understanding. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. How many people walk around you daily? And they wear those chains, those shackles, that are called the shadow of death. And I'm not talking now about the death of this flesh. I'm talking about the death of a soul. The end forever of a brother or a sister, an aunt, an uncle. People that walk under that bondage, the shadow of death. Who is death? Who was that death angel that passed over Israel as they wandered in that wilderness, other than Satan himself? Was it an angel of God? God created Satan in the world that was. And he turned bad, like sometimes you have turned bad. Well, I suppose that's, you know, you've never been that bad, certainly. But we slip. But he is that angel of death. He wants company. He's going to die. God sentenced him in Ezekiel 28 to death. That's why he is called the shadow of death. That is why that Jesus stated in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, I came to this earth to live and to die in the flesh, to show you that I can handle this flesh. Whereby within doing that, I can destroy death, which is the devil. All right. He is that shadow. It is so much more pleasant to be under the shadow of the wing of God than Lucifer. For he is full of deceit. He robs, he cheats, he lies, he steals, he kills, he brings death. And you are so uncomfortable there. We have all walked that walk at one time or the other before repentance, that we felt that weight of guilt and despair, of depression, that will load and sink your feet clear to the knees in the quicksand of life, when it's so easy to say, oh, God, help me. And he raises you under that shadow, whereby you cast no shadow of sin, but live in that perfection that is called living under the mighty hand of God. And now, in conclusion, a psalm that you all know. I could probably stand here and quote it, and it's going to be, as you well know, the 23rd psalm. Let's turn there in the Word of God, and let's read it with these thoughts fresh on our mind. It is known as the Psalm of Resurrection, not death, as most people teach it. The 22nd Psalm is the Psalm of Death, for it tells of that crucifixion where he was nailed to the cross for you. And this gives you your reward. Listen to it with this message, this lecture on shadows fresh in your mind. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You have everything in him, beloved. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You're a happy sheep. You are full and you are content. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Those people that have little life in them but are very still, he leads you by them and you still have happiness. He restoreth my soul. In the Hebrew, it means he gives me eternal life. I live forever, not as the shadow, which lasts not one day, but eternal life. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. For my sake? No, for his name's sake. The same as he does you, so that his word, his truth, his goodness, the message can go out, whether you're planting a seed to one person. Because, beloved, listen to me. You may have never planted but one seed in your life, but that soul that you implanted it within is my brother, is my sister, and they are precious. They are important. They are the children of God. And you indeed are a special servant of the living God. It's for his name's sake is why, what I'm reiterating. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, though I walk through this earth age with many under that wing of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me as you walk under that wing of Almighty God, that shadow. Then you don't have to be afraid of the shadow of death. You can combat him, fight him, kick him, bruise him by every seed that you plant of truth from the living Word. Of course you do not have to fear as you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, for the valley of the shadow of death means that Satan is still around and capable of casting a shadow, meaning now, today. And you do not have to fear because you are a servant of the living God. And you are under his wing. And your lifespan is not less than one day, but he has given you eternal life. And Satan, he that cast the shadow, has no place to go but the abyss, which is to say, death. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. It doesn't matter how evil they are, the Holy Spirit will always touch you and heal you and raise you and feed you with the truth of his word. That is your table. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. And it does, beloved, if you're honest with yourself, when you have the truth. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Not a short period, but an eternity. For you walk through that valley of the shadow of death, under the protection of the shadow of the wing of the living God. Isn't he good to us? Father, we thank you for your written word. Thank you, Father, for these precious scriptures. Thank you, Father, for these souls that have come here this day. Use them, Father. When one of these has walked in a group, let it be known to that group that a child of the living God was present there. We ask it in Yeshua, Jesus' precious name.